So we're going to study tonight sections of Parshas Shmos. As we start the Sefer Shmos this coming Shabbat, and yeah, Bechumish here if you like. Oh, how are you? Yeah, we have a copy here for you. There you go. We haven't seen you in a while. We were anticipating you're going to put our library together here.
Well, I started.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Can't you tell? My number's on the boxes.
Oh, the number's on the boxes. Okay. Yeah. I honestly didn't notice because it's been a very long
day. That's okay. Okay. I'm glad no one touched them. I'm worried. I'll come back tomorrow and do a lot of work.
At the story of the snare, which is the first encounter between the Almighty and Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem turns to Moshe and he says, Lech v'asafta es ziknei Yisrael. What this means is that Moshe is being called upon to get together the elders of Israel, right?
Yeah.
And tell them that this is the critical juncture in Jewish history. This is going to be the beginning of the end of this terrible diaspora of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. And the question that we want to focus on here is, how does Moshe Rabbeinu present himself to the people? Meaning, they've been enslaved in Egypt for such a long time, now all of a sudden somebody comes and tells them, I'm here to redeem you. You know, like, give it a break. You know, who are you and what are you and how can you claim, you know, what proof can you adduce to the fact that you were appointed by Almighty God to be the Redeemer of Israel? And Hashem says to him, "V'amarta aleihem Hashem Elokei Avoseichem," tell the people that you, the God of your fathers, Nira Eli, has appeared to me, meaning to Moshe, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Lamar, and this is the message that I was meant, meaning Moshe is meant to give to the people. And these are the two critical words that we want to underline, the next two words, pakod, pakadati. And there's going to be a tremendous amount of emphasis on these two words, pakod, pakadati. Now, I'd love to see what the English has as a translation here. You have the English open?
I have.
Tell me what page it's on.
I think it's 305.
Page 305, okay.
303,
so we're looking at verse number 16.
And 16.
How do you translate?
305, yeah. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, Hashem, the God of your forefathers, has appeared to me, the God of Abraham and Isaac.
Yaakov. Oh, now what are the next the keywords?
I have surely remembered you.
I have surely remembered you. Okay. Pakod pakadati eskem. I have surely remembered you. Now, what we're going to see soon is that these two words, pakod pakadati, are code words. It's a secret code that's been transmitted over the course of many, many generations. And the people of Israel anticipated that somebody would come forward and claim to have been appointed as the leader and the redeemer of Israel, and he's going to come with these two words, pakod pakadati. That's going to be an automatic identification of the person as the genuine redeemer of Israel. So God says, I've remembered you, Vesa Osu Lehem Mitzrayim, and what happened to the people in Israel. And then we move on to the next pasuk, which is number 17, Yud Zayin. And here it says, Va'omar, Ale Eschem Mi'ani Mitzrayim, and I have declared that it's time to bring you up from and save you from the poverty and the subjugation of Mitzrayim and bring you up to the land of Canaan. And then we move forward to pasuk Yud Ches, and God testifies to the fact that v'shamu l'kolecha, they will hearken to your voice. Now what we want to do is we want to look at these psukim from the perspective of some of the commentaries. We're going to start with Rashi and then go on to the Ramban. Rashi says that those last two words that we read in Pasuk Yud Ches V'shamu L'kolecha, me'aleichem, meaning automatically, on their own, they are going to come to believe in you and accept your word. And why is that so? Mikevan she'tomer lahem loshon zeh, because you'll present yourself with this exact language, so the precise words of Pakod Pakadati.
But how would they know? Because if everyone knows it, then the false Messiah.
Oh, okay,
well.
Excellent. Okay, so that's going to be the main topic of tonight, and we'll introduce your question slowly but surely. I'm not going to say it over now because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag before we get into it. But in any event, so here's Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's presenting himself as the Redeemer of Israel with the words Pakod Pakadati. And Hashem promises, guarantees, v'shamu l'kolecha, they will hearken to your voice. Why? Shekvar siman zeh, this sign, this, as I call the code word, masur biyadam, has been transmitted into their hands way back when, from Yaakov and from Yosef. So they have a long tradition dating back to Yaakov and Yosef, that when someone comes with this very language, that person is going to redeem them. Where do we see this? Yaakov Omar. Yaakov is the one who declares, Velokim Pakod Yifkod Eschem. Look at that double language, Pakod Yifkod. And Yaakov promises that God will redeem you. Yosef Amalem, and Yosef uses the same double language, Pakod Yifkod Elokim Eschem. This was not just coincidental that both Yaakov and Yosef promised the people of Israel that they will be redeemed with these words, Pakod Yifkod. It's not a coincidence. It repeats itself once, twice, and thrice.
Okay, so maybe not very many people knew, but it was important for Yaakov and Yosef to tell the people then, because it was going to happen soon.
Correct, but what your question is still outstanding, even though Yaakov and Yosef passed on this tradition, the issue is going to be, how do we really know? That's going to be the Ramban's question. Take a look at the next paragraph. He says, "Be'elish mos rabba," in the Medrash Rabba, it says that miyad, immediately v'shamu l'kolecha, as soon as you present yourself with this formulation, they are going to listen to your voice. Lama, but why? Why should they listen to him? Some unknown stranger that shows up. And the answer is, shemesoret, they had a tradition of gu'ula, of redemption, he, biyadam, in their hands, shekol goel, anyone who presents himself as the Redeemer of Israel, sheyavo, he'll come forward, v'yomo lehem, and he'll say those magical words, p'kida kfula, twice p'kida, God has remembered you twice, who goel shel emes, he is the true, genuine Redeemer, it's not a false prophet. Zelashonim b'godizu, that's the end of the statement of the Medrash. But v'yeshal lecha l'shol, the Ramban says that you really should raise the following objection. Uminayin lahem shi'aminu, even if I grant you that they had this tradition, that the Redeemer would come with the words Pakod Yifkod, but that was known to the people of Israel, why would that lead them to believe in Moshe in this case? Shema, perhaps, Shama Moshe b'mesoras hazos kemosa, maybe Moshe, just like the rest of the people of Israel, had this tradition. He also was privy to this secret information. And therefore, he may be a false prophet, illegitimate, presenting himself with this facade as if he was given the task and appointed as the leader of Israel by God. But in truth, he's just reiterating what everybody else knows. And he's the false prophet, if you want to call it that. So this is the Ramban's problem. So let's just summarize. We know that both Yaakov and Yosef passed on the tradition to the people of Israel that the Redeemer would come with this double language of Pakod Yifkod, or Pakod Pakadati. Moshe is told by God at the Sneh, at the beginning of Sefer Shemot, Paragimel, that he, Moshe, will present himself to the people of Israel with the words Pakod Pakadati, and they will believe him. And the Ramban says That's wonderful, except for one problem. Why is the fact that Moshe says those two magical words, Pakod, Pakadati, why is that an absolute proof that he's genuine? Apparently this tradition was well received and it was commonly known by the people of Israel, so that anyone could come forward and say, well, I know the secret, because everybody knew the secret. So the Ramban says, V'yesh Loma, perhaps the answer is as follows. Kach kiblu mi Yosef, sheshama mipi hanavi avihem. They received a tradition from Yosef, who heard it in turn from the great prophet, his father Yaakov. Sheharishon, the first one who comes along, sheyavo v'yomar lehem b'loshon hazeh, and will utilize this formulation, yeah hagoel osam. This was part of the tradition, that the first one who's going to come along and say it, he is the true, genuine. In effect, what the Ramban is saying is, I think, that the very fact that Moshe said Pakod Pakadi, that in and of itself doesn't prove a thing. But it was part of the prophecy from God that was received by Yaakov, passed on to Yosef, and transmitted to the people of Israel, that there will be no false representation here of a goel, of a redeemer, but rather the first one who comes along is going to be the true redeemer, and he is going to use that phrase pakod pakadati. Goli v'yadulof na'akadosh baruch hu, only God with his infinite knowledge is capable of making such a statement, shelo yavo adam v'yachaziv lehem, that there won't be a person who will falsify himself, presenting himself as if he's the genuinely appointed Redeemer of Israel, when in fact he's not. But kachiv ticham, that's what God promised them, that there won't be a false representation. It will be absolutely true. Now, you know that I like to teach Maharal Miprag, although I have to admit that I don't always teach the Maharal Miprag on this Tuesday night get-together. But tonight we have a piece from the Maharal Miprag called the Gur Aryeh, which is, of course, his commentary on the Chumash. And the Maharal is not going to be impressed by the Ramban's approach. He says, V'kasha, I still have a difficulty. Mimanavshach. Mimanavshach means no matter how you slice the cake. Acharshi Omar Simon Zemoser B'yodam. After we've already established that they had this code that was passed on in the tradition, Shema Moshe Gam Yoda Simon Kamo Acher, maybe Moshe knew about this code just like everyone else did. And this is really the question of the Ramban. The Ramban was way before the Maharal Miprag by some 5 centuries. The Tirutz Ramban. So now the Maharal is going to reiterate the answer that we saw in the Maharal. In the Ramban, and that is that part of the transmission or the tradition was that the first fellow who comes along and says those two magical words, Pakod Pakadi, is the true, genuine Redeemer. Kach Tirutz Ramban, that was the Ramban's answer. Says the Maharal, I don't like it. I'm not happy with it. Tirutz Zehu Rachok Miod, this is very far from what we call pshat, you know, the simple interpretation. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nasan B'chira Liyadam. God created a world and guaranteed freedom of choice, which means that anyone could possibly come along, abuse that freedom, and Yochel Lechazev Im Yirtz, if he so desires, he can falsify the truth, in this case present himself as if he is the true Redeemer when he's not. Moshe Omer HaKosuv, as the Pasuk says, towards the end of the Chumash, it says, Echa noda adova shalo dibru Hashem, that a person could present himself with things that, as if God talked to him, when in fact God never spoke to him. Zedover bara, that's absolutely clear. So notice the Maharal Miprag is objecting to the Ramban because he thinks that if God is guaranteeing that no one will ever cheat and falsify and misrepresent, then God is in a sense taking away man's freedom of choice. I was objecting to Ramban for a slightly different reason. I thought the Ramban was difficult because, in effect, the giving of this so-called simon, this code of Pakod Pakadi, doesn't prove a thing. What really proves anything is that the first person to come along and formulate Pakod Pakadi, he's the genuine Redeemer. let's see if the Maharal now could possibly improve on the Ramban. You know, it's very nice that he destroys the Ramban, but you know, you have to be constructive, not just destructive. Omnam, he says, Nirali, it appears to me, Shasiman Asher Nimsar Biyadam, this tradition that they had, Hayeshebazel Loshin Yu Nigolim, that ultimately they will be redeemed with this language. Again, that doesn't prove that Moshe Rabbeinu is genuine, but rather, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Lo Haya Misyare, what was Moshe concerned about? Why was he so inhibited here that he won't be able to successfully impress upon the people of Israel that he was appointed by the Almighty to be their Redeemer? Lo Haya Misyare Ata Shalo Yu Ma'aminim Lo, at this stage in the game, you know, much later down the line, Moshe's going to wonder if they're going to believe in him. At this stage, Moshe's not even up to that stage. They're not even going to bother paying any attention to him. Forget about believing in him. They're not even going to hear what he has to say. They wouldn't even listen to what he had to say. They're going to just write him off immediately from the get-go as kazav, as someone who is just a, you know, a fake. He's an imposter. They're not even going to pay attention to listen carefully about what he has to say. And there won't even be a possibility that they'll get to the next stage in which they'll not only listen to what Moshe has to say, but they'll realize the deep truth that is inherent in Moshe's words. But now that Moshe shows up, and the stranger out of the blue says, Pakod Pakadati, utilizes the magic words, who Siman Amosel the Adam, and that's the tradition they had. Hare you Shomimlo. At least they'll listen to him. They'll give him a platform and see what he has to say. Ulechal Pakod, in the very least, they're not going to necessarily believe him. They still have valid suspicions that maybe he's an imposter, but at least, at the very minimum, yitnu leiv, they'll pay attention, lizbonim bidvarav, to contemplate his words, doyesh simon. So the simon is only an introduction, so to speak. It's a very early indicator that, you know what, this guy is not just someone out of the blue. Maybe we should listen carefully to what he has to say. We're not yet ready to believe him. He may be an imposter. Afal gavdein raya gemura, they still don't have an absolute proof to establish his, the veracity of his claim that he is the Redeemer. But Simon, who at least, you got to grant me that since he gave this Simon, Yidnu Lev Al Tvarov, they will at least give him a hearing. You know, they'll pay attention to what he has to say. V'ein Zeh Hamana. But at this point, they're not necessarily believing in what he said. In the fact that he is the divinely appointed Redeemer. Now the Maharal wants to prove his thesis, and he says the following: Teidalecha, you should know. I'm going to prove this to you. Sha'achar sha'omar v'shamu lekolecha. Subsequent to God telling Moshe that they will listen to you, Omar Moshe. Again, we're in chapter 3, and Hashem says they will listen to you. But in chapter 4, which takes place sequentially later in history, Moshe says v'hein lo yaminu li. They won't believe in me, v'lo yishvu b'koli, they'll listen to what I have to say. But v'kashali, I don't understand. In the previous chapter, at the very beginning of the encounter of Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, Hari Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shamu l'kolecha, God has already guaranteed that they will listen to what you have to say. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying now, hein lo yaminu bi? What do you mean they won't believe in me? God already guaranteed him that they will listen to what he has to say. Ella, but it must be that v'shamu l'kolecha, that what Hashem said back in chapter 3, they will listen to you. It doesn't mean they will believe in you, Perusha, but rather what it means is sheyishvu l'chol lizbonen bidvarecha, they'll listen to you at least to the point in which it's worth that time to investigate and pay attention to what you have to say. But the Achikachomer of Moshe says, okay, they'll pay attention to what I say because I gave the secret password of Paco Pakati, but hey, lo yaminu li, they won't believe me because, again, the fact that I have this secret password doesn't prove in any conclusive way that I am a genuine and not an imposter. Lo yishmu b'koli, af im yishmu li, even if they will listen to what I have to say, lishmo imeni dvarai, and they'll hear me out, as we say, v'yizbonu b'hem v'yitnu lev aleihem, and they will pay attention and try to investigate what I have to say and weigh it and see if it's genuine. But harei lo yaminu, but at this point they're not ready to believe in me. Correct? So again, just to summarize, the Maral's thesis is as follows. That it's not the way the Ramban says it, that this Simon of Pakol Pakadati convinced the people of Israel that he was genuine, Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that it certainly can't do. And not the way the Ramban says it, that God guaranteed that there will be no imposter, because that would deny freedom of choice. But rather, what this Simon is going to accomplish is just v'shamu l'kolecha, they'll take me seriously and hear me out. They won't reject me outright from the get-go as if I'm a nobody, I'm an imposter, and my words are meaningless. No, they're going to take me seriously, and at least to be misbonein, to think and, you know, delve into my words and try to see if there's anything to them. Moshe Rabbeinu says that still we're at the point where Heim lo yaminu bi. Moshe Rabbeinu says maybe they'll listen to me, they'll hear me out, as we said, but they won't necessarily believe in me. So let's see if we can sort of fast forward to Perek Dalet and try to figure out how Hashem convinces Moshe, or calms him down, that they will believe in him. So it says the following. Moshe responds at the beginning of chapter 4 to Hashem and says, they won't believe in me. They're not going to accept that you, God, appeared to me. And what does Hashem tell him to calm him down? So let's just make one point before we go on to page 2. And that is that the Ramban, according to the Maral, is going to have to face the following problem. Is Hashem removing, undermining freedom of choice when Hashem guarantees that there won't be an imposter? And the answer is that we have to understand the Rambam. The Rambam is going to be on the middle of page 2. And the Rambam is going to explain that it's going to take a long while, a long, shall we say, period of time with many, many different episodes, until finally the people of Israel will believe in Moshe. Because the Rambam is of the opinion that belief in Moshe has to be based on personal experience, on personal knowledge. Like, for example, if I believe that this thermos is here on the table, it's because I see it. That's called empirical evidence. And the ultimate answer, according to the Rambam, to Moshe Rabbeinu's question, they're not going to believe in me, is going to be that down the line, they, the people of Israel, will have empirical evidence, personal first-hand evidence to believe in you. So then,
a chance to produce the evidence in the first place. I mean, yeah, if they don't want anything to do with
him. Correct. If they don't want anything to do with him, maybe they'll never even get to that stage. Yeah. But they will always harbor a certain question in their hearts, in the heart of hearts, about whether or not Moshe was really appointed as he claims he was by Almighty God. And it's only going to be at a point later on, we'll see this in the Rambam in the middle of your page 2, that finally the people will reach that level of emunah, of absolute faith. So therefore, when the Maral claims against the Ramban that, you know, the Ramban is undermining freedom of choice, it's really not so, because anyone could have freedom of choice and abuse it and present himself as an imposter. The Ramban is not denying that. What Hashem is promising Moshe is that if he starts the process with Pakod Pakadati, by revealing this code, the people are going to take him seriously, they're going to listen to what he has to say, They don't yet know for sure that he's an imposter or he's genuine, one way or the other. But Hashem is promising Moshe that down the line, they're going to have personal experience based on which they will believe in Moshe. Yeah. So really we have, in a sense, three stages. Stage number one, when Moshe comes and says, Pakot Pakadati, the people take him seriously. They're not going to throw him out, you know, and say, what's this jokester doing over here? Stage number two is the people going to start listening to what he has to say and thinking and delving into what he has to say because they are taking him seriously. But yet at stages one and two, they're still harboring a doubt and skepticism about whether Moshe indeed is the genuine Redeemer. Stage number three is going to happen down the line. We're going to see the Rambam identifies that as the first two of the Ten Commandments. At that point, the Jewish people have personal experience in which they not believe based on some sort of an assumption or philosophical inquiry or arguments, but rather based on empirical evidence. Just like we look at something and we see it in front of us.
You're saying that's pure speculation.
Correct. That's speculation. So let's see on page two if we can first go through the psukim and lead up based on Rashi to the Rambam's view. Okay. What we want to understand is why is this double language of Pakod Pakadati so significant? It's chosen as the Siman. It was chosen by Yaakov and reiterated by Yosef, and now Moshe comes through in flying colors. What is it about Pakod Pakadati that is singled out or designated as the Siman for Geula? And I'm not saying I have a quick answer to that, but I'm hoping that before we have to part, we can somehow come up with an answer to that. But that's my general question here about Pakod Pakadati. Now, we started in the middle of chapter 3. That was our first source that we began with tonight. I want to turn the clock backwards in this case. We've been looking forwards to chapter 4, but to an earlier part of chapter 3. And this is the initial discussion between Hashem and Moshe at the snare. And Hashem says to Moshe, V'ata, and now, Lecha, go on the way, meaning make the trek from Midian back to Mitzrayim. V'shlachacha el Paro, I'm sending you as my agent to Paro, to take the people and free them out of Mitzrayim. Moshe says the following. You know, you would think that Moshe would be elated, he'd be jumping for joy. After all, you remember that he left the palace and he saw the Sivlosam, he identified and empathized with their suffering. Now Hashem is saying to Moshe, you go ahead and redeem the people of Israel. But instead of Moshe getting all excited about it, and you know, appointing a seven-piece band, instead he says, Mi anochi, who am I, ki elech el Paro, that I should go to Paro. And then again, he argues, V'chi otzi es b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. And like, it's almost like a rhetorical question. And I will take the people out of Egypt? Now, before we see God's response, which is in Pasuk Yud Beis, we're going to take a look at Rashi on Pasuk Yud Aleph. Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was really putting forth two different claims, two different arguments. His first argument was, Mi anochi ki elech al Paro, who am I that I should go to Paro? Says Rashi, Ma ani chashuv ledaber mamlachim? Am I so significant? I'm a nobody. I'm not in a who's list. And I'm going to speak in front of the kings? That's argument number one. Meaning, if you want to send someone to see the king, it's got to be a high-level diplomat. You know, it can't be a nobody off the street. You know, he's not even going to get an audience with the king. You know, we're living at a time in the United States where they're deciding, you know, who will take the big jobs, you know. These are people who will be in the president's, you know, in his inner circle, his chamber, his entourage. These are people who will have, you know, the president's ear. But for you and I, and that's hard. That's, you know, they're not going to even let us into the White House. Unless we're going on a tour at certain hours. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's first argument. His second argument is, V'chi otzi es b'nei Yisrael, v'af im choshev ani, and even if you'll somehow reject my first argument, and all of a sudden, you'll put some very fancy badges on me, and I become the ambassador, but nevertheless, b'mazochu Yisrael, I don't understand. This is Moshe's curiosity is piqued over. He says, why would the Jewish people at this stage be worthy that you should do all these miracles on their behalf and take them out of Mitzrayim? After all, the people of Israel are slaves. They're low down. They're not really observant in any sense. And the Zohar says they reach the lowest level of Memtesh Arituah. So why did the people deserve this redemption? And now we go back to Pasuk Yud Beis, and we see, we want to analyze Hashem's response to Moshe. And hopefully we're going to find two responses, because Moshe put forth two different arguments. Vayomer, Hashem says to Moshe, Ki eye imach, I will be with you. Vizelcha ha'oz ki anochi shlachticha, and here I'm giving you a sign to testify that I have sent you. Now before we see the rest of the pasuk, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, this is the third line down in Rashi, Heshivo, God responded, Al Rishon Rishon Val Achron Achron. On the first question, the first argument of Moshe, then over to the second. Shar Marto, the first argument you put forward, Mi Anochi Kielech Al Paro, who am I to go to Paro? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God responds, and he says, Eyeh Imach. What does Eyeh Imach mean? Lo shalchahi. Don't think that you are a typical messenger who comes and, is all alone and nobody recognizes him and nobody wants to give him recognition. No, that's not it. Lo mishalchahi, you're not alone. Ki im mishali. The fulfillment of your agency here is going to be together with me. God is not letting Moshe fend for himself and stand on his own two feet without any aid. No, God promises and guarantees Moshe that he, God, with a capital H, is going to escort him. He's going to be with him together as they enter into the king. And that's what it means. Ki ye'eye imach, I will be with you. You're not going in alone. Surely if you go in alone, they're going to throw you out. Who are you? But I'm going to go in with you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which basically symbolically means that God is going to call the shots, and he's going to see to it that Moshe Rabbeinu gets the audience that he needs with the king. And now Rashi offers an entire thesis here as to how Hashem is going to calm Moshe Rabbeinu down, because Moshe is raising all these fears and doubts. And the answer is, Ki eyeh imach. What does this mean? Rashi gives this whole fantastical presentation. He says, Zeh amara shara'isa b'sneh. You've now seen the great miracle of the bush, the burning bush. Lecha ha'os. This is going to be a sign for you. Ki anochi shlachticha. That I have sent you on this agent, as my agent, for this endeavor, this project, v'tatzliach b'shlichusai. And this burning bush is going to be the proof, the demonstration that you will successfully achieve your objective as an agent. Why? Kedai ani lahatzil, you can rely on me that I'll save you, I'll protect you. Kasher ra'isa, just like you saw in front of your eyes, hasneh, that the bush is doing, Osa Shlichusa, it's doing exactly what I, God, told it to do. And even though it's getting really hot under the collar here, from the perspective of the leaves on the bush, but nevertheless, Einenu Och Ukal, it's not being consumed, because God miraculously protects the Shliach, in this case, the Sneh itself, from the fire that is threatening to consume it. Kach, so too, this is like a mashal and an imshal, Telech b'shlichusai v'eincha nizam. You will go out on this agency to fulfill my will, and you won't be damaged at all. God says, look, I control everything. Just like I control the fire and I don't allow the fire to consume the snare, so too I control Egypt and the king of Egypt, and I'll make sure that you're not hurt and you're not damaged. So this is Rashi inserting an entire paragraph here as to the argument of Hashem, how Hashem convinces Moshe that he should take this job. Moshe, don't worry about your getting an audience with the king, because I'll be there with you. Don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu, about the possibility that Paro, when he sees you, he's going to throw you in jail or something like that. I am there to protect you, just like I protected the snare. But now we get to Moshe Rabbeinu's second argument, V'shalta mas chus li'eshli associates umi Mitzrayim, and why do the Jewish people deserve being redeemed from Egypt? Dover gadol yeshli al hotza'azu. Because you don't understand, Moshe, that what is the ultimate purpose and the culmination of this process of redemption? I'm not just taking slaves out of their enslaving country and freedom. No, hari asidim lekabel haTorah al har hazeh. The entire purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to reach this goal of the Jewish people accepting the Torah on the mountain, L'sof Gimel Chadosh and Shiyotzim, 3 months after they left Mitzrayim. So let's just summarize. Rashi is saying that Moshe raised two objections and Hashem responded to both. First one, how can I go into Paro? Hashem says, I'll go with you. The second one is, why do the Bnei Yisrael deserve and merit being redeemed? And the answer is, because 3 months down the line, they're going to receive the Torah. And that's what it's all about. That's the whole purpose of this redemption. And it seems that Rashi is bothered in Pasuk Yud Beis by some extra words. Because if you take a look at the beginning of Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer, Hashem says, Ki Yeyeh Imach. Okay, fine. If Yeyeh Imach, God says, I will accompany you, then what's this Zelcha Ha'os? Well, why is that necessary? V'Zelcha Ha'os. And the answer is that the Vizelcha Ha'os is going to justify, is going to explain why HaKadosh Baruch wants to redeem the people. What merit do they have? Why do they deserve it? And the answer is because after you take them out of Mitzrayim, they will come 3 months later to Har Sinai and they will receive the Torah. Al Ha'or Hazeh. Ad Kan, until now we have Rashi. Now we have the Rambam. The Rambam, you know, wrote a magnum opus, if you will, many works that he wrote, but this is the greatest of them all. It's called the Mishneh Torah. It's also called the Yad HaChazok. It has two different names. And it begins with the laws of Yisodei HaTorah, the basics and the fundamentals of the Torah. And there the Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Yisrael Edim Lo. The people of Israel are his witnesses, meaning they can testify that he is the leader of the people and he was so divinely appointed. Eden lo, Eden witnesses. Why? Achar maimed Har Sinai, but only subsequent to the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. Until this point, anything that happens earlier in Jewish history, the people of Israel cannot testify about Moshe Rabbeinu. They're really not sure about him. They may be harboring some doubts about Moshe Rabbeinu, but v'yeno tzach laslem os. Once they reached Har Sinai, and Moshe gave the Torah, and they, at that Har Sinai, they heard the dibros, the word of God, the first two dibros directly from Hashem. Subsequent to that, there was no need for an os. There was no need for some sort of miraculous sign that would convince them that Moshe was indeed the genuine redeemer of Israel. V'zeu shamal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is, says the Rambam, is what God already told Moshe at the very beginning of Moshe's career as a prophet. And that's back at the snare in Perek Gimel of Sefer Shmos. V'yesha nosan lo ha'osos la'sosa Mitzrayim. He gave Moshe Rabbeinu various signs that he could do in Mitzrayim. Like, for example, he would throw down the staff and it would turn to a serpent. And other such signs, put his hand in it would turn to snow, white as snow. All these signs. But says the Rambam, those were signs that were given to present Moshe Rabbeinu to the people in Mitzrayim. The Amar Lo, and God promised him, v'shamu l'kolecha, that as a result of these miraculous signs that Moshe Rabbeinu achieves, the people will take you seriously. So Yod HaMoshe, Moshe mistakenly came to the conclusion that the belief of Klal Yisrael is based on solely, exclusively on Osos, on these miraculous acts. Now, the Rambam's thesis is that when you believe in someone because of the miracles that he brings about, Yesh Belivavo Dofi, he will still harbor doubts and Mahar Umachashev, and he's thinking and he's wondering. It's the osos, the miraculous wonders that a person brings about, it will not absolutely, completely convince a person as to the truth of that person who brought about the osos. V'ya nishmat milelech, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was still hesitant, even though Hashem promised him you'll be able to do all these miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu is still expressing his reservations. V'yomer, and he still declares v'heim lo yaminu li. So in other words, the Rambam Shita is, according to Rambam's view, even after Moshe identifies himself with the words, the code words, Pokadati, even after Moshe Rabbeinu does all these miracles and so forth and so on, nevertheless, at this stage, the people of Israel are not fully on board believing in Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why Moshe insists v'heim lo yaminu lo. At what point do we make this transition into the world of absolute emuna, when the people accept Moshe Rabbeinu without any doubts in their heart? Ad shodio HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eilu ha'osos einon elo ad sheyetzu Mitzrayim. Those are miracles that you would present Moshe Rabbeinu as long as the people are in Mitzrayim. But once they leave Mitzrayim, then they will come to stand at the foot of the mountain of Har Sinai. At that point, Yistale Kahiru, says the Rambam, any doubts that are being harbored in the minds and the hearts of the people of Israel will completely be removed. Shemaharin Acharecha, that they have doubts about you, and all this is going to go poof, it's going to go up in smoke. Why? Shani nosin l'chokan os sheyedu shanishlach ticha b'yemes. I'm giving you a miracle, so to speak, or a sign that it is I who sent you in truth, and to such an extent that this will convince the people beyond a shadow of a doubt, with, and it will harbor absolutely no doubts about Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is that os? That's what the pasuk means here in the end of pasuk Yud Beis that we're looking at Perek Gimel. Only when they reach Har Sinai and they receive the Torah, at that point, not earlier, do they have full faith in Moshe Rabbeinu. That's going to be the clincher. They're still harboring in their hearts doubts, and that's why Moshe says, "Hey, lo yaminu bi." At what point do they finally reach that emuna? At the point of Har Sinai.
But the people who didn't get to go out, they also had doubts, but I guess they had more doubts. But the ones who were killed in the plague of darkness.
That's an excellent question. Meaning, how do we divvy up the people of Israel if the thesis of the Rambam is that all the people of Israel had less than perfect absolute faith in Moshe? Why did some people deserve to be redeemed and other people were lost at the Makom Choshech during the darkness?
A lot of people had doubts about Donald Trump. Still voted for him.
Right.
A lot of people do. Donald Trump.
But they still voted for him. I'm not sure if they voted for him or they voted against her. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly.
In any event. So now let's just summarize. There's a debate here, a controversy between Rashi and the Rambam as to how to read this posuk, Pasuk Yud Beis. Because let's look at the way Rashi reads the verse and then compare it and contrast it with the Rambam. Rashi is saying that when it says in the pasuk v'zelcha ha'os, right, the words v'zelcha ha'os, they flow in. Just one second, let me just get this straight. According to Rashi, v'zelcha ha'os, I'm sorry, I lost it for a second. Rashi is saying, yeah, Rashi is saying that Hashem is answering Moshe's second argument. Why is it that the people deserve and merit redemption? And the answer is Zelcha Os. The answer to your question is that they will serve Hashem and receive the Torah at Har Sinai. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that the words V'Zelcha Os connect to the rest of the pasuk, namely Botziacha Esa'om Hazeh Tavdunis Alakim. There is an osir that will lead and clinch the amun of the people, the faith of the people. How will that os serve as the clincher to bring the people to amunah? The answer is because they'll hear the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai at the time of Matan Torah. So as Rashi says that the Matan Torah element here of Haharazeh is injected here in Hashem's discourse with Moshe because it's going to answer this question as to why the Jewish people deserve to be redeemed. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that the Zelcha Os is going to explain when will the people finally achieve the ultimate 100% emuna in Moshe Rabbeinu.
They still kind of lost.
You mean things that happen
afterwards? They still.
Yeah. But again, those are more complaints. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, why did you bring us into this harsh wilderness? We don't have water to drink. We don't have food to feed our people. We're sick of the man. But the basic belief, the absolute faith in Moshe, that he indeed was appointed as the Redeemer of Israel, that was clinched with Maimon Har Sinai. On a side here, I don't mean to confuse you, but I'm a little bit baffled, and I don't want to get into this now because I really, in the very few minutes that we have left, I want to get to a certain goal. The pasuk at the Shiras Hayam, after the splitting of the sea, says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. So I'm a little bit confused. I think what the Rambam is saying is that there are notches, you know, as you ascend, you know, higher and higher in a more profound sense of emunah, and no doubt that the splitting of the sea added another couple of notches, but it still wasn't 100% until Har Sinai. That's what I think. But again, I don't want to confuse you.
I would have been convinced by the sea.
Okay. I'm not. Again, I don't want to derail you. But the Rambam's shita is that the final clincher is Har Sinai. So we're going to work with, you know, with blind faith right now. Now, the Medrash itself in Shmos Rabbah says, "Va'eshlach lufaneches Moshe, Aaron, u'Miriam." Hashem promises that He will send Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Melamed Shaloya Mavakesh Moshe Ligolas Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was not, you know, automatically on board, you know, eager to take this position. Ella says the Medrash Omer Moshe LaKodesh Baruch Hu Mi Anochi, who am I? And now the Medrash adds a very profound note over here. What was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu when he said Mi Anochi? You know, Rashi says they're going to throw me out when I show up in the palace of Paro. The Medrash says no. Didn't you promise to Avram that you yourself, you with a capital Y, will take the people out of Israel? Now you're saying that take the people out of Mitzrayim. Now you say no, that God is appointing flesh and blood, mortal man, to take them out of Mitzrayim? Didn't you say and promise Avram Avinu, this at the Bris Benim, so he promises is done Anochi, that I will judge this nation that's going to enslave the people of Israel. Didn't you promise didn't you promise to Yaakov Anochi Ered Imach Mitzrayim Vanochi Elagam Ale? Why are you telling me, Moshe's asking, that I should be the Redeemer of Israel? After all, you promised the Avos that you, Hashem, would personally be there to take the people out of Mitzrayim and redeem them. So perhaps when we look at the response of Hashem to Moshe's argument, he says in Pasuk Yud-Beis, Vayomer ki yeyeh imach. It's not just the way Rashi said it, well, I will accompany you when you enter into Paro so that you don't have to cower and be afraid of Paro throwing you out because I'm going to be there controlling the shots. No, it's much more profound, says the Medrash. It's that Hashem is promising, I will be there together with you. You're not. It's not an independent human effort here to redeem the people of Israel. God is going to actively be part of that process of redemption. That's the answer to the question, how to reconcile the appointment of Moshe Rabbeinu with all the promises, the divine promises to the Avos. The answer is it's going to be Moshe on the, you know, in the revealed scene, you know, of the play, but who's actually with Moshe Rabbeinu and bringing about the Geula? It's Hashem. It's Hashem Himself. By the way, on the night of the Seder, we don't even mention Moshe Rabbeinu. Did you ever notice that? And the reason for that is because Hashem says that I will redeem the people of Israel. You know, if we give Moshe Rabbeinu too much of a high profile, we might mistakenly think that Hashem wasn't active, wasn't personally, if I could use that term regarding the divine being, personally active in the redemption of Israel. So in the very few minutes I have, and then I'll take questions later, I just want to let you out at 8:30. I just want to sort of finish, you know, if I can. I know
that's okay.
It's a little bit unfair of me, but I wanted to get to a certain point. On the bottom of your page 2, there's something from Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik in his commentary on the Torah. This was my Rebbe's uncle. And he said the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe was, Ki eyeh imach, I will be with you. Ratz Olomer, what does this mean? D'b'chol amasim shetaseh, whatever you are called upon to do as my agent, says Hashem, eyeh ani imach, I will be there with you. And he gives an example from another famous statement of Chazal. Our rabbis teach us that Shechina Yisrael Medaberes Mitokrono Shel Moshe, that when Moshe spoke, it was really Almighty God speaking through the vocal cords of Moshe. V'shaper tia ha-ge'ula v'yitzia al-yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvodo v'atzma. And the ge'ula and the redemption, the exodus from Egypt will be brought about directly by Hashem. Moshe is only, in a sense, the physical embodiment. On, you know, externally, it looks like Moshe Rabbeinu is playing the role, but really it's Hashem who's playing the role. Now, if this be the case, then I want to share with you the words of the Shalach HaKadosh, which is on page 3, which I don't think I got a chance to photocopy for you. But the Shalach HaKadosh does a wonderful job here in comparing two verses in Tanakh that are almost identical. And I never would have noticed any differences. Here at the Sneh, Hashem says to Moshe, Shal na'alcha me'al raglecha, remove your shoes from your feet, ki amokom asher ta'omer alav, because the place on which you're standing, admas kodesh hu. Okay, this is Shmos Gimel Pasuk Hei. An identical pasuk, or I should say almost identical, appears in the 5th chapter of Yoshua. There it says, Shal na'alcha me'al raglecha, God says to Yoshua, take your shoes off your feet. Ki amakom asher ta'omer alav, because the place that you're standing on, kodesh hu, is sanctified. So the Shalach does a serious research project in comparing these two verses, which again look identical, and he comes up with 3 differences between the two. First of all, in our Chumash, in the encounter between Hashem and Moshe, it says Na'alecha with a Yud. That Yud is a Lashon Rabban. It makes it into a plural. So Na'alcha means Yoshu in the singular, and that's what it says by Yoshua. Here, by Moshe, it says Na'alecha in the plural. Take off both your shoes. That's number one. Number two, here, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, regarding the place that you're standing, Admas Kodesh. Admas Kodesh. The extra word, Adama. Adama is a very significant word. It refers to the ground. And in the case of Yoshua, it says, Hamokom Asher Ta'omed Olav Kodeshu. Kodeshu, but it doesn't say Admas Kodeshu. The word Adama is left out. And thirdly, he says that by Yoshua, the pasuk says, Vayas Ken. That Yoshua indeed took off his shoe, but it doesn't say that by Moshe Rabbeinu. And in order to answer this, now let me just say a few words about the Shalach very quickly. His name was Horovitz, and he was a Kabbalist who had a keen insight into the makeup, the spiritual and physical makeup of a human being. And in this particular presentation, he says that there's something called levush or. What does that mean, levush or? That means there's a skin that covers, in a certain sense, man is clothed by this skin, this protective skin. That's called or, ayin vav resh. But there are two types, two categories. Number one, there's or behema. We take the hides of an animal, and that's min alim shalovish. That's the shoes that he wears on his feet. Those are protective, and they're made out of animal hides. What do we call it? Leather, right? Number two, he says, there's or atzma. There's the actual skin of a person, correct? And he quotes a pasuk in Eov, or ubasar telav sheni, that man is clothed by his skin. And he says the following, that man is chomer, man is physicality, and in that sense he is compared to the animals. We are also members of the animal kingdom. Man is created mi'adoma, you know, from the physical dirt, you know, of the ground. And therefore, he says, Hayoroi Leos Gufo Admas Kodesh Kutnos Or Bi'alf. It means that man is given a tremendous potential, such that what he could do is, through his spiritual endeavors, he could take his goof, his physical goof, and the Adama from which his goof was created, the ground, and create a kodesh, an admas kodesh, a new entity which is called the sanctified ground. And the Shalak claims that when Hashem offers the clothing to Adam Mechava, you remember after the Chet, so there it says kutnos or with an ayin. He says, but man has the potential of creating this levush, this clothing, as kutnas or with an aleph. And what's the difference between or with an ayin and or with an aleph? He says that or with an ayin represents the animal, you know, the animal skin, which is totally physical and material. But or with an aleph, which means the light could represent something that is spiritual, that's supernal. And he says that originally the kutnas or for man, that would designate for man, was or with an aleph, meaning the light. But as a result of the fact that man sinned, the or with an aleph was changed to an or with an ayin. And man is now a member of the animal kingdom. Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. Why? Because about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, Karan or panah, that he radiates a certain light from his face. You remember that? And how is that so? How is Moshe Rabbeinu able to achieve this identification with or with light? The answer is, Gufo HaKadosh, he's able to take his physicality and sanctify it, Nizdaketh, and purify it, Vinas, and he converts the or, which with an ayin, to Kutnas or with an aleph. And that's the Karen or that comes out of Moshe's face, that radiates from his countenance. And the Shalosh says, "Vayamuchan lekach miyom hivoldo." From the very moment he was born, Moshe was given that potential. K'moshe Nemar, it says that when the daughter of Paro opened up the cradle, it says, "Vatera oso kitov." She saw that he was good. What does that mean? She saw he was good. So the Gemara says, "In sota nismali abayis kulo or." That when she opened up the cradle, the whole room was filled with light. So already, immediately with Moshe Rabbeinu's infancy, he's already capable of illuminating the world, and he finally, in his maturity, in his adult life, reaches the ultimate, and that's Kikaran Arpanov, when his countenance radiates light. And the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu reaches this level in which he is superior to all the other prophets is because Moshe Rabbeinu, let me start the other way. The other prophets, when they receive prophecy, their body shakes. They can't tolerate it because the physical body is a barrier to the pure spiritual voice of Hashem. But in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he receives prophecy and his body doesn't shake at all. Bli reses. His physicality is no longer a barrier. It's completely been nulled and void. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is considered aspaklaria ha-me'ira. Me'ira from the language of light. Light is the thing that's least physical, it's most spiritual. And this sanctity of Moshe is greater than that of Yoshua. Yoshua doesn't match up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? The ground on which Yoshua stands is sanctified. But in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's much more than that. The Torah adds the word Admas Kodesh. Why? The Torah wants to say that the Makom Asher Omad Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom is not just Kodesh, it's not just that Moshe sanctifies the ground, but it becomes Kodesh Kodashim. You know, like in the Beis HaMikdash, there's the highest level of sanctity. And Moshe Rabbeinu had, during the course of his life, to prepare himself and, you know, step by step, sanctify himself. And therefore the word Na'alayim by Moshe, two shoes, why is it written in plural? It means one shoe that is made up of Ar Behema, the hide of an animal, the Akarkach, and then Aru Basar, meaning that even the physicality of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be sanctified and purified and elevated. And that's an amazing thing. And Yoshua doesn't reach that level. You know, Yoshua is still very much a soul in a physical body. The Adama within Moshe Rabbeinu, because again, physical man is created from the Adama, from the ground. Nase Kodesh. Even the physicality of Moshe becomes sanctified. With regard to Yoshua, it says, Vayas came. Yoshua fulfilled God's dictum and he took off his shoe. But by Moshe, it doesn't even have to bother telling us that he took off his shoe. Why? Romeis gamken al or ubasa shalo. Since now Moshe Rabbeinu is completely nullifying any sort of physical barrier to his spiritual makeup, to his essence. Lo shayach loshan asiya. You can't say vayas Moshe like it says by Yoshua. Asiya, because the word asiya means to do something in the physical world, in the corporeal world. All that Moshe is his slavshus kedusha utahora. He's purely sanctified and purified, and therefore the word vayas doesn't make any sense. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu began this process of purifying himself before Matan Torah, and he only reaches the level of Koran or part of the ultimate paradigm, the apex, the pinnacle, when Koran or part of after Matan Torah. But nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu is well on his way to achieve that goal. And the Shalah concludes this entire complicated presentation by saying, Roy Adam Lil Momikan, this is a message for us. That Ha'adam Hu B'makom Kodesh, that a person, a human being, is being placed on this world for a holiness, for Tzarech L'Kadesh Esatzma V'Yoser, he has to sanctify himself. Yimagia L'makom Od Yoser Mekudosh, he's given a certain inherent Kedusha, a certain place in the scale from birth, but he's given also the potential to add and intensify that sanctity. Is therefore tzarif liskadesh v'tosefos kedusha yoser v'yoser, and he's got to add and enhance and intensify his levels of sanctity. So we see very clearly from everything that we've been doing tonight that Moshe is the chosen leader of the people of Israel. He has the ability to play that role of Redeemer of Israel because of his unique sanctity. And although the people of Israel in various stages began to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, they only reach that ultimate level when Moshe reaches his ultimate level, the personification of Kedusha, of sanctity. at the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah at Har Sinai. Okay then? So this is what we accomplished for tonight. And I thank you all for coming. You know, whatever we were able to accomplish, I think it's really getting our feet wet in Parshas.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.